Hello? 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 Hello?
If you can hear this, it's not too late. I've returned to warn you. This is Time Pop, a podcast that discusses time travel and pop culture. There are spoilers. I've seen the future, and nothing is sacred to these folks. Your past, present, and future are sure to be ruined. Even if you could go back in time, as I have, you will never forget what you are about to hear. You've been warned. This is Time Pop.
Zip, zap, zoop. They finally get it.
Welcome, Chrononauts, as we guide you through the experience of time travel using pop culture as our Jocasta complex.
What?
We will be your constants. I am Dez.
And I'm Ari. Wait, why didn't you say DeLorean?
And this is
Time Pop.
Too obvious. I had to go away from it. I'm sorry.
Okay, you're Jocasta. What a?
Wow.
Jocasta complex.
What is that?
That is when, as a mother, you're infatuated with your son.
Oh.
Jocasta was Oedipus's mother.
Okay, I was about to say, yeah, when
you
an
didn't
Oedipus
know
complex.
What that
no,
meant.
I didn't know that. I know Oedipus complex.
Oedipus is a known thing, and
so
I
he
almost
tried
said
to get fancy on you.
I almost said Oedipus, and then I was like, well, what's is Oedipus a mother and a son, or
yeah.
Is it only a son to a mother? And so, yeah, a son to a mother is Oedipus because he was Oedipus, and a mother to a son is Jocasta.
Okay, but for all our fans out there, I'll do it for you. The DeLorean as our, what do you call it?
Constant.
Constant.
Isn't
the DeLorean.
Time your constant?
What's that?
Is time your constant?
No, Ari and I are the constant.
Oh, yeah. Oh. As the DeLorean, as the, what do you say?
Is our pop culture fixation.
Our device, yeah.
Yes.
So if you guys are the constant, am I like the paradox?
Yeah.
Wait.
That's perfect.
Wait, who are you exactly?
This is Scott Lifton coming to you live and direct.
Oh,
I'm your
Scott.
I'm your local paradox.
Yeah. Local paradox. I like that very much. And yeah, we kind of chatted a little bit before we officially started recording, but we are in the studio official, which is very nice. Scott and Ari over here on a Sunday afternoon. Missing football for this. What's up with that?
Oh, wow. That's the dedication because this is like a special event.
This
should be a holiday. That's why we're in the studio today, because what are we doing?
Back to the future.
Dun, 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 dun.
Scott, quick text me.
You want me to text you? Oh.
Quick text me. Wait for it.
Wow, this is really delayed. This is really delayed gratification.
Wait for it.
It's not going to be that exciting.
It's going to be amazing.
Here it comes.
That's
Nerd.
Not just Scott. If anybody texts me, that's what it is. I love the looks I get from people who don't even know this movie very good. When I get a text in front of them, everyone's like,
it sounds like Tinkerbell.
Yeah, it's a subtle sound that means something very specific.
So yes, Ari, Back to the Future. This is, you know, we've buried the lead. You know, I think this is a movie that has gotten a lot of people into the fascination of time travel. And here we are.
Yeah, it's exciting. This is a lot of people's favorite movie in general, and then a lot of people's favorite time travel movie.
Yeah, and watching all this footage, I watched a bunch of bonus footage from this, and this really was, before this movie, most time travel movies went way in the past or way in the future, and this was the first one that kind of started playing around with time periods that we were aware of, where you could come in contact with yourself or someone you know. And I think it just, you know, before this, time travel was just a, you know, go see dinosaurs or go in the future when we have hotels on the moon. But now all of a sudden, as to be able to move around in such a short period of time, it really woke people up to the possibilities of this storytelling device.
Yeah, that's true. There's no like greater adventure of saving the universe from a villain. It's just kind of fixing your own life. They're just regular people that live in the suburbs. So that's kind of a different take, I guess, at the time.
So good. All right. Here are the facts of the situation. Back to the Future, released July 3rd, 1985, 116 minutes, rated PG, directed by Robert Zemeckis, famous for Used Cars and Romancing the Stone at this point in life.
There must have been something else.
There were some other things, but in, nothing. Again, watching the bonus footage, like they had just come off of Romancing the Stone. Like that was, this was their next big, well, and also I think this, Romancing the Stone was big enough to give them money. They're like, yeah. All right, what do you want to do? And this script had been sitting around since 1980, I think.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah. Wow. They had first started to write it in 1980. And so in 1985, they're like, what do you want to do, Bob? The world is your oyster. Written by Robert Zemeckis and Bob Gale. Starring Michael J. Fox of Family Ties fame and See You Yesterday for all our Time Pop fans out there. He was the principal. Professor in See You Yesterday.
Right, yep.
Teacher.
Yes. Christopher Lloyd as Doc Brown from Taxi. And his first movie ever was One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest.
Wow.
Yeah. That's a hell of a first role. Like, that guy jumped off the...
He plays loony people.
He plays what?
Loony people.
He does.
A little eccentric.
Apparently made some guest appearances in the 12 Monkeys TV show, which is kind of cool. Leah Thompson, who was reunited with Eric Stoltz, which we'll get into later, in Some Kind of Wonderful. And she also made Sweet Love to a Duck in Howard the Duck, the world's first Marvel movie. Crispin Glover as George McFly, who was also in a couple episodes of Family Ties after this movie.
Weird.
So he and Michael J. Fox must have hit it off and kept in contact for that. Thomas F. Wilson as Biff, who hasn't done much after this movie because he was typecast as Biff.
He became a big stand-up comedian. I used to work at a comedy club and he had a whole shtick on people calling him Biff.
Where was this? I've heard you mention this
in Buffalo, New York.
No way.
So he wasn't doing the huge circuits, but he was probably a bigger name for Buffalo. But yeah, he had a whole thing about being Biff and like moving past that he's not just Biff and he's a comedian.
Yeah, he's done a lot of voiceover work. He's got a great voice, but you see his face and you just think butthead. And he never really got past that. Claudia Wells as Jennifer Parker, which IMDb is very quick to let you know, no relation to H.G. Wells.
Oh, that would have been so perfect.
I know. It didn't occur to me, but I'm glad that they threw that at me. And introducing Billy Zane as Match.
Yep. I noticed that. He's one of the thugs, one of Biff's thugs.
Which I didn't realize all the thugs are aptly named Match, 3D, and Skinhead.
Well, do you know one of the other thugs was Casey Seismako, who was in like 3 o'clock High?
No.
And Young Guns. Yeah.
Was he Skinhead by any chance?
He was not he was the other brunette.
He didn't have 3D glasses or a matchstick in his mouth.
I'm trying to remember if he had the 3D glasses or not. Maybe he did have the glasses. He was the other dark haired guy that wasn't Billy Zane. The other one was a little blondish, I think.
I think Skinhead was going to be Biff, but he wasn't tall enough. Mark McClure as brother Dave, who I mentioned him.
Oh, right. He's Jimmy Olsen in Superman. Yeah,
exactly.
The brother, Marty McFly's brother. Jimmy.
And
I was like, why are you mentioning? Oh, yeah, that's why.
Yeah. And James Tolkien as Mr. Strickland from Top Gun fame. Music by Huey Lewis. Ratings on Rotten Tomatoes. Critics gave it a 96. Audience gave it a 94. So loved by all. And this is another one Time Pop fans will know from our Groundhog Day. I have all three of these movies on audio cassette to this day. I can throw these in a tape player and just listen to it. Just visualize it all by myself. No video accompaniment necessary. Those are the facts of the situation. We're going to hand this over to Ari for Ari's overview. And I'm going to warn her right now, this is going to be her longest overview ever.
Really?
Yes, because I'm going to butt in a lot.
So it's actually going to be my shortest ever.
Well, maybe I'll just, if you got a nice,
I've got a nice
2 minute monologue, then maybe I will just keep my mouth shut. And
yeah.
Then we'll,
so I talked about this with Scott beforehand and we figured out a nice concise way to just give you the general overview. And then you guys can talk about all the things afterwards. So this movie is about a guy named Marty McFly, who is a high school student, and he has a friend who is an adult, a doctor, a scientist named Doc Brown. And he sometimes helps Doc Brown do experiments. And one night Doc Brown says, hey, meet me in this parking lot. I want to show you something. And he shows him his time travel machine.
He whips it out.
Yeah. He says, you know, how cool is this? And, you know, this is how it works. I had to steal.
It's a car.
It's a DeLorean.
A cocaine filled DeLorean. Oh, yeah. Wait.
And it runs on plutonium.
Not cocaine. Okay.
And Doc Brown had to steal some plutonium to get it to run. And he's
from
like,
Libyan terrorists.
Yeah. from specifically from Libyan terrorists.
Remember the Libyans?
And he says, yeah, you know, I've been working on this for a while. I came up with the idea back in 1965.
55,
thank you. of how, as is when I first discovered, you know, time travel in 1955. And in the car, he's like, shows him on the little panel of how you put in the date. He's like, for example, if I were to put in 1955, this is how you do it. Pretty cool, huh? And he's like, yeah, awesome. Then all of a sudden the Libyans show up and there's a shootout and Doc Brown dies. And Marty McFly or Doc Brown gets shot, and Marty McFly jumps in the car and drives away, and it gets up to 88 miles per hour, and bzz, bang, boom, he is in 1955, and he accidentally prevents his mother and father from meeting. He gets in the way, and instead of his mother meeting his father meets him, and she develops a crush on him. And it's the weirdest thing. That's probably one of the most memorable aspects of this movie, is this woman having a crush on her son and obviously not knowing it because she's a lot younger. She's in high school at the time.
But she's got the hots for him. It's not just like, oh, there's someone who's my type. She's like,
he's a dreamboat.
Yeah. So Marty accidentally interrupts the meeting of his mother and his father, and through a picture that he had in his wallet, discovers that he and his siblings are slowly disappearing. And so he has to rectify the situation by helping his mother and father meet. So he finds Doc Brown in 1955 and kind of tells him what's going on and says, you know, the car's not working. I can't get back. Plus, I also need to help my parents meet again. Maybe not in that exact order, but that's the gist. And so Doc Brown says, you know, the only thing that will get you back is either plutonium.
1.21 gigawatts.
Right. Either plutonium, which they don't have, or
1.21 gigawatts,
which is the equivalent of a strike of lightning. Fortunately, in that town in 1955, the great clock tower in the center of the town was hit by lightning at exactly 12:05.
Precisely.
Because that's when the clock stopped and has never worked since. So they know that a strike of lightning is going to hit on this day at that time. So that's how they're going to get back. But before they can do that, they've got to get Marty's parents to meet. So there's a dance happening. That's when they've had their first kiss and fell in love. So Marty's going to take his mom to the dance, but then his dad is going to step in and man up.
Get your damn hands off her.
Yeah, and is going to win her over by punching out Marty. Apparently back in 55, that's all you needed to do to win a girl's heart was beat up some other guy.
Such a simpler time.
Yeah.
I would have had a rough time in the 50s.
And it works, but instead of beating up Marty, he actually beats up the local bully by the name of, I almost said Buzz.
Biff
by
Lightyear.
The name of Biff, and wins over the girl. They kiss. Marty rocks out on stage at the dance. They get ready to do the lightning car ride thing.
Biff, bang, bam, zip, zap.
Zip, zap, zoop. They finally get it. He gets back. Everything's okay. Yay.
Yay.
I know I left out a lot of stuff, but I wanted to try and do shorter.
We're not saying every detail, right?
Usually I do. Oh. That's the thing.
Because he comes back to the future and he's actually made his world better.
And because his dad punched the bully.
He runs for school president.
Yeah, he's more confident person and his life is better. And
all the kids are more well-adjusted.
Yeah.
Due to the recursive nature of time travel, he gives his father the same advice his father gave him, and his father uses that to better his life and become an author. All right. What do you want to get into first, Ari? You had to whip through that. What are you like? All right, what do you need to dig into?
Yeah, well, we could also assume that pretty much everybody has seen this movie, especially if you're listening to this podcast. So
yeah.
I want to first talk about the end. We usually like go over the overview and then we start at the end and work our way back, which I like doing that for this one. When Marty drives and gets the lightning and gets back, he purposefully set the timer earlier because Doc got shot. So he's trying to set it to be earlier to get there in time to save him. So he does. He gets there earlier, but he shows up in a little bit different location. Oh, because he shows up in this
different space.
This time machine definitely does not move through space.
Yes. Yeah, so
only
this,
time.
This time machine only does time, which I like.
Yes.
A lot. So he shows up at a different place. He drives to the location, the parking lot where Doc Brown got shot.
He doesn't. That's the problem. His car dies soon as he gets to 1985. And that's why
he's late. He's,
running late to the mall.
Oh, he runs there. Okay, but he's...
Because the Libyans drive by him and then he takes off running.
So, but he gets there and he sees himself before he's gotten in the car to jump away. He sees Doc Brown. He sees the Libyans and he sees him get shot. And then he sees himself get in the car and drive away. And it turns out Doc Brown was wearing a bulletproof vest.
Yes.
And so he was fine. But my main thing is this is very much like Primer. They're just assuming that you travel into the past and you are just kind of disappearing. But when in reality, there is now a Marty McFly in 1955, theoretically doing all the same things that the main Marty just did. So, but I'm assuming that the movie is just kind of using the whole you go into the past and you disappear, kind of like the Primer law. That would not be the case.
So yeah, you're saying, so now that he came back, he's in 1955 and then the future version of himself. Oh, but he's going to come back that time. But then there's two of them in the future.
Because he came back sooner than when he left.
Right.
There are two of him now. There will always be two of him until one of them dies.
So what he needs to do is
kill himself.
Get to 1985 early, rush to the mall and blow up the DeLorean.
But do you see what I'm saying? And they never address this.
Well, because that's, yeah, I didn't really think about it until also when I was watching this to the end. You just put a hole in my theory. I wrote down single timeline, but not a loop. But now it is a loop.
Yep.
I was going to try to not do this, but I'm already.
It's happening.
I'm already fucked. In Back to the Future 2, when they do the split off, that.
Not talking about that yet.
So,
because what I'm saying is that like the now where Lorraine and George are awesome from 1955 to 1985 never exists. There's not a timeline where that actually plays out. There's the timeline where George is a nerd, and then all of a sudden in 1985 he switches to being cool because it's almost like that gap is bridged. It's almost like time jumps over that 30 years.
So it seems like in this story it's a ripple effect. You change something in the past and your future is automatically different.
Yeah. This movie's trying to suggest, that it's just one timeline. They're not trying to suggest multiverse theory.
No.
They're not trying to suggest a loop, at least for most of this film. They're trying to say this is one timeline. It's the first time he's gone back to fix it, and it started a thing. But it's like Ari's saying at the end, it kind of has to be.
Because he came back early, and there are two of him.
Yeah.
And then the second one gets in the car and goes back in time. There are now two of them, and it is technically a loop. The only way, there will always be two of them. There will always be two of them because let's say the second one that went back didn't come back early to make a third one. Let's say he came back, after he left. There will still always be two of them.
Yes.
When he comes back, there'll have been a Marty that's been there. There'll be two of them.
So if Marty comes back early and goes straight to his house, what present does he see? Does he see nerdy peanut brittle eating George, or does he see awesome tennis playing George?
Now the same timeline's happening. This is he's going to repeat the same thing.
So, but here's the thing. Because it is one timeline, the second Marty that's gone back in time could mess up the present by changing something.
Yeah.
So there's a big hole here.
Because, it does. Because this doesn't suggest that what has always happened has happened will always happen. Because that's not true.
But he's the same person. He's dealing with the same stimuli. There's nothing to suggest anything different would happen.
But where does cool George exist from 55 to 85? Where does that timeline exist?
That's this movie's suggesting that is the only new timeline.
It's a ripple effect.
It's the timeline. They're not suggesting multiverse.
So it's like a ripple. So it is like a loop, but again, it's a rippled loop. So that leads me back to what I'm saying is that cool George never exists in a livable timeline from 55 to 85. Nerdy George exists from 55 to 85. And then Marty goes back and flaps his butterfly wings.
But then he does exist between 55 and 85.
Yeah, as soon as he goes back and has him punch the bully,
he exists.
But he exists. It just changes the
timeline. He has changed the one timeline.
But the night before, so now in this new timeline, the night before Marty travels back in time, are his parents just having hot sex instead of eating peanut brittle and getting drunk?
Oh, I see what you're saying. Oh, I see what you're saying.
I don't see what he's saying.
Okay. Because now Marty won, the first Marty to do this, went back and he changed it, right?
Yeah.
So now from 55 to 85, we've had Cool George. But this Marty is from the future, is going back to the past again, now that 55 to 85 has been changed.
You mean Marty 2?
Marty 2. Be suggesting if it's been different since then, Marty 2 is dealing with that dad.
If what has happened will
unless
always happen.
We have to outthink this movie.
Yes.
So it is multiverse.
Okay,
it is alternate timelines.
I like the thought.
But no, but it doesn't. Okay. Marty's going back to the one that Marty 2 is at, but this is a new timeline with a new George now.
Well, because I think even
I
though
you're
second
saying.
Marty goes back, that still happens because he
so this
bumps into his dad and he follows his dad who's a peeping Tom.
Okay, so before we start to have our brains melt, because Scott looks like he's about to melt, let's understand that this was written to where the second Marty that goes back just disappears.
Yes.
So let's remember that the writers wrote this not thinking about the second Marty at all. Now, we are thinking
that's
about the second
job.
Marty because that's what we do, and it's starting to melt Scott's brain.
No, I love it.
Well, this is where we get
I
think now we have to accept the fact there's multiple timelines.
But but then he would be in a different timeline that didn't have...
No, if you think about it as one timeline, he would be going back to the new change.
Well, so this is where when you go back in time, it splits. But then when you go forward in time, you stay connected to the timeline that you're on.
So if this is one timeline, if Marty 2 is going back to the exact moment that Marty 1 went to, it would be the changed timeline. If he happens to go a second before, he's back to the original timeline.
The original timeline that he goes back to, because until he goes back, nothing changes. It's him going back that branches the timeline.
So, well, are we having multiple timelines or are we having one timeline?
I'm saying multiple.
Well, we have to be smarter than the movie in this case.
Because
it doesn't make sense otherwise.
Because Nerdy
but
McFly
it still, doesn't make
still
sense.
Exists somewhere. Nerdy George exists somewhere for that.
Okay, let me rephrase that. If we're thinking about this the way the writers wanted it being one timeline, if second Marty goes back, the change happens when he punches Biff.
Right.
In 55.
The change, the major changes are when he prevents his dad from meeting his mom and from when he punches Biff. So even if he went back to the same timeline, nothing has changed yet unless he gets in the way of his mom meeting his dad or he gets in the way of his dad punching Biff.
If I think what you're saying, you'd almost say that Marty 2 would then be going back to a 55 that Marty 1 is already in and right. And Nerdy George is punching Biff already, unless...
Well, he's going back to that exact same moment. So now when Marty 2 goes do you think there's two Martys in 1955?
If we're going with a logical theory, which we have to really explore this, what about a theory of individual timelines? Your own timeline. What if Marty's in his own, in his life, and his life is doing
all
this?
Well, then that's multiverse.
I think the act of going back in time, because this kind of makes me think of Endgame, where it's the act of going back and changing something that splits
split.
The timeline. So Marty going back, Marty leaving 1985 doesn't split the timeline. Marty entering 1955 is
splits
what
the timeline.
Splits the timeline.
Totally. But you can't say he's going back to an alternative timeline in the future because he goes back to one with him still in the DeLorean, which is the original timeline, but it's got the new George. So that is inconsistent. How appropriate. Do you see what I'm saying? If you said alternate timeline, he would go back. There'd be no other him. He'd be well-adjusted. He's got Cool George. That's the alternate timeline. But he's going back
Cool
to
George
one.
Doesn't exist. He would have to go back to after
but Cool
the
George
date,
does exist.
After the Enchantment of the Sea dance.
It's flawed.
No, because Cool George doesn't exist until the punch.
So 55.
If Marty goes back to a week before the dance, Cool George isn't there yet.
But when Marty comes back, I'm saying to 85.
Second Marty or first Marty?
First Marty comes back to 85. It is not an alternative timeline because he's still come back to the whole thing with him and the Libyans in the car, but it is an alternative timeline because you got changed George. So it doesn't make sense. It's not one of those. That's the flaw.
I found the flaw in the script.
I didn't even think of that. That's great.
I found the flaw in the script.
You're welcome.
She does this every...
These are two flaws.
This is what she does.
She did the Marty copy flaw, which is legit, and then you did this flaw of like the Cool George paradox, and it's it has to be an alternate timeline, but it's the same timeline, which is suggesting that it is a loop of his experience, which is into some weird that I need to think about for a few days.
All right.
Should we get off this for a second?
Let's go to the beginning. What does Doc do to those clocks to make them 25 minutes slow or fast? Does he send his whole office back in time? Does he send his whole office?
He set them.
No.
The clock's in his place?
But he's all excited, like, my experiment worked. He changed his clocks. There's some time travel involved of those clocks. There's no way that he's that excited about his experiment of...
You think he filled a car with clocks?
No.
Didn't he say he was excited that Einstein was the first thing to go in time?
First being, first time traveler. So he could still have been doing experiments on inanimate objects.
They're just trying to keep it vague to show he's a mad scientist, that he set these clocks and he's excited and he's experimenting with time theory by doing this. I think we're not supposed to know fully. It's an interesting theory. I don't think it's what they're going for, but maybe. He filled up a car with like 80 clocks.
But then he would have already known that his experiment worked.
I think you're supposed to think, this is kind of referenced that it's almost his first thing that worked. That kind of comes across in the movie, and even him in the 50s is like, oh, it's good to know I do something.
Well, yeah, and I needed some other, I don't remember what I was listening to, but I never really noticed until watching this time that his like mansion in 1955, he has a mansion on the hills, and then he's just got this little...
He's a trust fund baby.
This little garage, and then in 1985, that garage is all he has left that's now in the parking lot of a Burger King. I remember hearing him say, like, and it took my entire family fortune. But I didn't realize you'd see that family fortune evaporate.
The movie is so well thought out. I still get so impressed.
Oh, you just reminded me what I forgot. So I think the flaw of this movie is that Marty doesn't go back because his parents are nerds. Like, I think somehow, like, I think that makes it more loopable. Like, his dad being cool is just...
It's just a better version of his
luck.
Family. Yeah.
But if Marty... I think it makes a better loop theory if Marty goes back in time in order to fix his parents. Then I think it creates a tighter circle.
Does that happen in the second movie?
Happen in any movies.
He goes back by accident and then he happens to fix something. It's not like, I need to change this as an inciting incident, because it's nothing that dramatic. His parents are just like not the happiest people. That's what we're saying about this movie, right? It's not, they're just changing lives slightly for the
better. But I think if he is introduced to this time machine and he decides, I'm going to use this time machine to try to fix my parents because my mom's a drunk and my dad's getting picked on, then I think it creates a tighter loop theory that he's always going back. The only reason he's going back is to make his dad cool and his mom healthy.
Yeah, this movie was not written to be a loop theory.
No, it was. But I think something that simple, because we were talking before, we're having trouble trying to figure out if this is a loop or multiple timelines. I think I accept better that it's a loop if the reason he's going back is to...
Right, but it's not a loop.
No.
How about this?
Right.
How about this? This could solve problems.
I like Ari. Ari's just like, just drop it. It's not.
it's like you said, Desmond, how cool his parents are doesn't change his mission. So even if he comes back to the same future, Marty 1, Marty 2 could still be time traveling even though the parents are cooler. It hasn't changed that. He's still friends with Doc Brown.
Yeah.
So it could be that he still has the car. His parents are cooler, but he's... It still changes him in the back having it.
So bottom line, this movie was not written to be a loop theory, but it kind of is, because he came back early and created two of him and saw himself go back the second time. And you can just hope and assume that he did everything exactly the same. And if that's the case, it means he's going to come back early again and create a third one, which then incites that it is actually a loop.
But again, there's the problem of he's going back to a 55, and if it's one consistent timeline, there's already a Marty in that 55.
No, there's not. The Marty is
Marty 2?
Because the Marty's back.
But in 55. Now, in 1955, in history, Marty has now been there. Marty 2 is now going back to 55, where Marty 1 had been.
Right, but he's going back to a time when he wasn't there. The moment that one was got there, he got there, and then he lived everything and then went back to the future. And then he's the one that but he came back a little too... off my mic. He came back and then went back to when Marty is not there. There are not more than one Marty
saying there's one true timeline, and Marty has been now in 55, Marty 1, Marty 2 goes back there. And in the one true 55, Marty 1 has already been there.
Right, but he's going back to the precise moment that the other one was there. So everything is still can be changed, but Marty 1 is not there.
See, that's why I think going back, landing in the past is what splits the timeline, which then would negate your bottleneck theory, your Marty bottleneck.
Again, there's science and there's what they're suggesting.
Because it was specific moments in which just going back doesn't, in my opinion, for this story, doesn't change the single timeline. It's the major events, the meeting the mom instead of his dad meeting
That's what splits the timeline in your mind.
That's what changes the ripple effect in the future. So him going back to the same moment that Marty 1 went to isn't going to change anything yet. It's when he gets in the way of his parents meeting and when he has his dad punch the bully. So those are the main...
So like if he goes back, goes straight to Doc's house, fixes the time machine and comes forward, nothing happens.
Yeah, I mean, you could think that maybe it would, if this is truly one timeline, if he doesn't do everything exactly the same, the timeline is going to go back to the way that it was. And theoretically, if it is one timeline with multiple Martys, Marty would be affected by the change and not know it. If everyone else is affected by the change and not know
Except
it.
Except for the time traveling one.
You know what bothers me? Marty wakes up pretending like it was a dream after that experience.
After there for a week.
After he was there for a week. He runs back to the parking lot. He sees Doc wore the vest. He goes home. He goes to bed at 4 a.m, something like that. I don't know. And then he wakes up and goes, wow, what a weird dream. Come on.
It was the 80s. It was always the dream.
All right. Here's the important question. Is it Skitchin or Hooky Bobbin?
What? He's proud of himself right now, isn't he?
He's so proud of himself right now.
When you hang on to the back of a vehicle with your skateboard, what do you call it?
Illegal. Dangerous.
Skate hitch.
God, I'm so disappointed in you
guys. Hitch skating.
Well, I was especially curious to talk to Scott about this because I think Skitchin is an East Coast term, but we called it Hooky Bobbin.
I never heard of Hooky Bobbin. Skitchin sounds more legit. Hooky Bobbin sounds like something you do in the backyard.
And that was more technically, we did that with, because we were in Montana, we did that with sleds. Like that was, I think it was still called that on a skateboard, but.
We're more civilized in New York.
I love it. And another just an awesome, and this is something I was talking to Scott about this, but I must have watched this movie 30 times before I picked up on the Twin Pines Lone Pine gag that is f-ing flawless. So when he first goes to the mall, it's the Twin Pines Mall. And then when he goes back in time, he runs over one of the pine trees. And when he comes back to 1985, it's the Lone Pines Mall.
Yeah, this movie is so good at all the little subtle differences, all the little almost like Easter eggs that you can pick up on. Like that it just it's why it's such a great movie and has held up for so long.
Yeah.
I want to watch more scenes, more side-by-side scenes of 55 and 85 in the town square.
I'll bet you're right. They're going for shot of like when you first walk in the town, the shot just
like
it is in the future.
I don't think they do.
You don't think so?
I don't think so because I always, because it took me a long time. It took me until this time to realize that the in front of where the clock tower is like all grassed and beautiful in 55 and it's just a parking lot in 85. Like that's...
I think in the second one, they try to emulate some of the shots.
The Texaco, there's a couple things they really focus on. The Texaco, the movie theater.
Right. This is the first time I noticed. I was watching this with Ari and I say, the movie theater says like Saturday Night Orgy or something. It's like, it's a porn theater. I was like, why did I not notice this? It has orgy in big letters in this PG movie.
As you're showing this to your 8-year-old daughter.
Yeah. Totally. This is true.
Well, that's the other one. The main theater is a church now. The one that he comes back and runs into in 85. But then, there's one across the square. That's the dirty 80s. In 50s, everything was clean and nice and tidy. Yeah. And in the 80s, we're all sex.
They're just showing the decay. I mean, I was just saying this. I just think the script is so, it's a perfect example of everything's got a reason for it. And everything they put in there, it is important to the story. And when they show Marty having guitar, how that plays into the end.
Yeah.
The fact that Marty plays guitar is essential for his parents' meeting. I mean, the things with the Statler Toyota, like the everything.
Mayor Goldie Wilson.
You know, that his son's in jail and that
the dumb
everything
luck,
is set up.
The dumb luck of Ronald Reagan being president in 85. Because anyone else, any John C. Williams, like, who gives a shit?
Yeah.
But the fact that, and the movie they show, The Cattle Queen from Montana, that's playing at the movie theater in 1955, is starring Ronald Reagan. Which didn't come out in 55. That came out in 54, but I think they needed that one to make the Ronald Reagan gig work even better. The gigawatt thing. This is just the power of the internet. Robert Zemeckis and Bob Gale just didn't know how to pronounce it. That's why.
I thought they were trying to make up, they're trying to say gigawatts, or they're trying to make, I thought he was trying to make up his own insane science that doesn't exist.
I know, it sounds very parsec to me. It always makes me think of
I always
parsecs.
Thought they were going parsec, but they were supposed to do gigawatts.
Yeah,
and
they
just
looked at
up.
The word and they pronounced gigawatts, gigawatts.
They're supposed to do gigawatts. Oh my God, that's funny.
Watching all the behind the scenes stuff is so funny. Steven Spielberg, Robert Zemeckis, Bob Gale, holy 80s Batman. Like all of the behind the scenes stuff is just like the movie you realize is kind of timeless, even though the 55 stuff is a little bit more right on, but I feel like the 80s stuff, they didn't, like, there's not that much neon, there's not that much, you know, I don't feel like Marty McFly is like super 80s out, you know.
I mean, the first thing they focus on are his little 80s Nikes and stuff, and
holy, they have a single take in this movie that rivals Goodfellas. I've never noticed it before. When they're in the school in 1955 and they're having the, you need to take my mom, the Enchantment of the Sea dance, that's the dance where they meet and they kiss. That's over a minute long uncut scene.
Where Doc and Marty are talking and then you see his mom and then it goes back to them talking?
When, after everyone else goes into class and disperses and it's just them. So there's which makes a single take easier because there's no moving parts in the background. But it's over a minute long.
You know, I had said this to Ari and it was funny. I just watch it, you notice different things, but I said like everything to the script is very essential to the plot, except this really sexist scene of like Marty talking to his girlfriend at the beginning and women walk by in aerobics gear and he just turns his head over and she like corrects him. And it's just, it's this weird thing that's just not in his, I talked to you guys both about it. It's like not in his character to do it. And they're just trying to do it to make him cool, I guess, in the 80s way.
That definitely was, speaking of timeless, that was very just 80s.
That was very 80s.
Just got to look at, speaking of, out of place, Biff is a murderer and a rapist.
Yeah, he's... When he's taking advantage of her in the...
He's gonna kill Marty when he's gonna about ready to ram him into that pile of dog shit. Like, he's not gonna,
if he got
just
what he
like...
wanted, he would have killed him.
Yeah, he's like, I'm gonna ram him and he's gonna smash a human being in between two bumpers.
And there's this 80s movie that's like relatively, it's PG and innocent, but like he is deep molesting her in the car. Her legs are up and his arm is in there, like he's giving her a gynecological exam. It's like not, and we're all watching this as like 8-year-olds. I'm showing this to my kid, and that's
gnarly.
That's some rapism happening. Like if he was left alone,
well, and that's even
in that car.
Yeah, and before that, I mean, in the cafeteria too. It's just like, come on, Mr. Strickland.
Yeah.
Like he's pulling her onto his lap. So this movie changed cinema, the back end of cinema forever. Basically the Crispin Glover act, because when they made Back to the Future 2 and he wasn't in it, he sued them. He's like, that's me, like that's my character. And I don't even think they used a few shots of the back of his head, but just the likeness factor ended up, he got paid just because of pretending like he was in the movie. And to this day, if you play a character in one movie and that character is referenced in the next movie, you're gonna get a check.
Wow.
And that's because of Crispin Glover. And I think it definitely has to do with, like, there are definitely some shots that, like I said, that actually show the back of his head.
Why didn't they use him in the next movie?
I don't know if he was busy or like he's such a, like,
is that when he went crazy?
Well, I think he did not want to do it. We should look it up, but
he's such an actor that I think, you know, this was early on in his career, and so he was happy to get the work. And
but he also went crazy based on that interview I saw where he's like on something also, or
he's a weird dude. He also might have just been messing with him. I think he's, you know, an offbeat artist like a Joaquin Phoenix.
Have you not seen the interview? It's
I've seen it.
Okay.
I'll have to look it up. I knew he was a weird cat, but I didn't know he was borderline insane. But there's a lot of people that can think they're residuals to Crispin Glover.
See? So how do you think in the National Lampoon's Vacation movies, the different Rusties, but because they're so far from a likeness, they avoid that?
Oh, that's a good...
Because they change the kids every movie.
That's so funny that you mentioned that. The Vacation movies came up so much in the behind-the-scenes footage I watched. They had someone was wearing a Wally World shirt. They kept showing this scene of Marty because they were talking about how Michael J. Fox was doing Family Ties and this, so he was sleeping like 2 hours a night. So like he would run from Family Ties and they would go film all night at for Back to the Future, and then he would come back to Family Ties in the morning. And at some point he jumps in the family truckster, and I saw that scene on like three different documentary shorts. And then when I watched behind the scenes footage of them refurbishing the DeLorean getting it backed up and stuff, because it was just sitting in a back lot crumbling for a while, and they're trying to get the time circuits to work and they're not working, and one of the guys goes, "The little lights aren't twinkling, Clark. Thanks for noticing, Mom." From Christmas Vacation. It was so funny. That movie was like just in the zeitgeist at the time that everyone kept quoting it and stuff. Eric Stoltz.
Yeah, do you want to go in the Stoltz thing?
Yes. So Eric Stoltz, so they wanted Michael J. Fox in the beginning. Like, as they're writing this script, they're like, we want the kid from Family Ties. But because of Family Ties, he can't do it. And they had just, someone had just worked on The Mask with Eric Stoltz. And so they're like, oh, this kid's pretty good. And so they hire him, and they film for about 6 to 8 weeks. They film Back to the Future with Eric Stoltz in it.
Yeah, like half the movie had been filmed.
It is a lot of scenes are still in the movie that had Eric Stoltz just off screen. Like they still used plenty of that. And it sounds like it was really just the comedic timing. Like I think he was nailing a lot of stuff, but they definitely knew they wanted this to be lighter, and Michael J. Fox just had that timing.
That's incredible. Most movies, you've shot half of it, you don't be like, this could be better, let's redo the whole thing. I mean, the budget, so, you need to do that.
Wait a minute, the reason they reshot it was because of the timing? That's not what I heard.
Well, comedy factor. I mean,
I heard it was difficult on
Eric
set.
Stoltz wasn't right, but I think why he wasn't right was because he just doesn't have that comedic flow, so no matter what
I
they
heard
did.
It's because he was incredibly difficult and demanding, and they fired him because of personality issues and conflicts.
I kept thinking that there was going to be more stuff in my DVD extras, and they never really went into it. Yeah, I don't know, because I think it was more, I got a feeling it was more what was happening on screen than what was happening off screen. And it might have translated off screen, because I think, you know, he just wouldn't budge on some of his acting choices.
Are you looking it up, Scott?
Yep.
When did you see this first, Ari? You're not a child of the 80s, so when did you come in contact with this glorious film?
Probably when I was in high school, so 99 2000.
Okay. Was it a big event, or do you just hanging out at some friend's house and just threw in Back to the Future? Did you like blow through the trilogy at that time, you remember? Or
no, like I don't even know if I've seen the third one.
Oh really?
Yeah.
Whoa.
Yes. I wasn't even sure if we were going to do the third one, because by the third one, there's really no time travel theory to discuss. I think we have to now.
So C. Thomas Howell, by the way, was also a good option.
Yes, I remember that.
They ended up realizing that Eric Stoltz was a good actor. He played the part too dramatically. He was a method actor, meaning he would stay in character when the cameras weren't rolling, and demanded that everyone address him as Marty, which was a great annoyance to the cast and crew, especially Thomas Wilson, who portrayed Biff. Wilson states that in the cafeteria scene where Biff picks a fight with Marty, Stoltz would repeatedly use all his force when shoving Wilson, which got on his nerves to the point where he was excited to retaliate where Biff punches Marty in the stomach.
That's what I'd heard. I heard that he was very difficult to work with, and he was pissing everybody off, and they fired him.
I've got that bit is on one of, I can't think of his name right now, but the guy who plays Biff on one of his stand-ups. I might have to slip that.
And they start asking questions that are always the same. Hey, what's Michael J. Fox like? He's nice. What's Christopher Lloyd like? Kind of quiet. What's Crispin Glover like? Unusual. Stop asking me the question.
So it sounds like that you're both right. I mean, it sounds like it was mostly that his comedic timing was awful and he was getting on people's nerves. But still, that isn't usually, I think, in a movie, you're halfway through, you shower with them. They usually just grin and bear it, and you try to do maybe a few reshoots with the same cast. You try to change scenes. You don't really have the budget where you can reshoot half the film. So apparently that's Stoltz's fist that punches Biff, and there's like all these photos of like the Stoltz photo. And
yeah, that is insane that they, I mean, to go to a studio head and just, we're starting over.
Yeah.
Like that must have been.
Yeah. Stoltz still gets paid.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's probably still got paid.
I mean, that's all Universal lot, so maybe they don't have to do too much.
They must have done it before, because what they did, because it was easier to dirty up than clean up, they did all the 1950s stuff first and then filmed all the 1985 stuff. And I wonder if they got Michael J. Fox in there before they 80s'd up the back lot. Like, that might have been one step too far. They're like, we're not regrazing the Times Square and all that stuff. Check out that 4x4. God, the DeLorean is awesome. Just as a time machine, what a fucking, this has to be,
it's pretty unique.
The best time machine. I mean, it's cool. It's functional. Like, how many time machines do you use and then it's just a paperweight? when you get back in time. It's so brilliant to have something you can
drive
around.
And you can modify it for the future, like when Doc Brown goes into the future and then comes back and the DeLorean can now fly. Pretty
cool.
So cool.
So here's a issue. Sorry, Duplass. Film's great. At the end, when he's like rushing Marty to go to the future to save his kids, what's the rush? They're going to the future.
I have that and same note written down.
You do? Great.
He has a time machine. He's always in a hurry fucking up. Hurry. He's always in a hurry.
Totally. Marty's like, we were supposed to go to the cab. We got the car. You know, I just got back. No, something's got to be done. Well, we could do this tomorrow. It's still in the future. We'll go whenever we want.
That's the movie I want. I want, because how long was, I mean, he was gone long enough to, you know, turn the DeLorean into a flying car. I want that adventure. I mean, that could probably be a trilogy in and of itself.
Almost like the Star Wars offshoots, just in that missed time.
Yeah.
They could do a prequel now that's just called like the year the Doc went to the future. And obviously he makes it back and
he's just hanging out.
It's probably not that interesting.
It's not, because we basically see the three times where things get screwed up. Like Marty accidentally goes back in time and they got to fix that. And then Doc sees a horrible future, so he's got to fix that. And then Doc dies in the past. Oh, sorry.
Hey-o.
Oh!
That's actually not true. I mean,
I'm excited though. We're going to do this one. We're definitely going to do Back to the Future too soon, because that gets super nerdy. I love Back to the Future. It's what started the whole thing. But Back to the Future 2 is when I fell in love with time travel as a genre.
Right.
Because it got so crazy, and the sketches of the multiple timelines.
And then Ari gets the lady boner because it goes back and forth.
Yeah,
the
time travel, she gets lady to see boner. Her future.
Yeah.
Dun, dun, dun. We get a new Jennifer. Poor Jennifer.
Strange that he goes to the future. I mean, whatever. This is a Hollywood film. You know, he comes back and everything's better now. You get that the parents are more confident. They have more money. They still live in the same shitty house, though. They have more money. It just looks better.
Yeah.
You know, the kid, instead decorated. Of working for McDonald's, he wears a suit. They're showing all these signs of accomplishment.
Burger King, Scott.
But
Burger
King. Why is Marty calling this future? And in this future, he has that perfect car that he wanted. Like, why is that?
Yeah, where does the 4x4 come from?
How is that a reaction to any of this? Just that his parents had more money, so they bought him for him earlier?
Because I thought it was a contest. Like, I always thought when we saw it the first time that it's like, hey, you can win this truck.
No, he just wanted to get one. It was just his dream. It. And then by fixing his parents, he has a car.
Because all things, apparently, he didn't have to change at all. He was perfect.
Yeah.
Like, his brother has more confidence. His sister's banging every boy in town. And he's still just hanging out with some creepy old...
Yeah,
see...
He would have hung out the Doc. He would have had a more like a well-balanced family. He would never have sought mentorship outside.
You're right. That's why that's the only reason that makes sense for him to be around Doc is, yeah, what the, like, this movie glosses over so many, in a good way, like so many movies, if you glossed over this much stuff, you just throw it in the garbage. This movie glosses over so many details, but it just moves along at such a great clip and it's such a fun story that we don't even question.
I mean, not every movie has got three people criticizing all the holes and flaws in it. They didn't know when they made this that we'd be out to get them years later.
Everyone saw podcasts coming.
And we're not. We're just, you know, there's just, when you take this and you look at it, I still, again, if I had my film class, I would use this script to teach how to write screenplays.
Everything, all the dots are connected. It's amazing.
Except for the aerobic ladies.
Lose aerobics.
Yeah, even, I mean, the fact that George likes science fiction, everything plays into everything.
Yeah.
And the significance of the dance.
Yeah, I mean, that's...
And then in the future movies, they're going to go back to that. They're going to go back to Texaco. They introduce in the second one that he likes Duck Hunt, and they're going to bring that back when he goes to, like, all these things that, you know, are key. They use it all. It's great. Easter eggs.
Easter eggs.
And it's not even Easter. And I was just saying to Ari, too, that, you know, she's a bit younger than us, but in the 80s, we're kind of obsessed with the 50s. So, for, like, it really hit a lot musically and, like, culturally at the time. It's that, like, 30 year gap where you worship 30 years prior.
So right now, so if we went back 30 years, it'd be 89. Is that right?
Oh, okay. That'd be fun.
Like, when this movie came out, 1955 was, it may as well have been a different planet.
Totally.
And I would have been
so long ago. And
I would have been 12 if we went back in time 30 whole years. Can you imagine them making this movie?
But it's fun. I like what you'd said. I never thought of it that way, that time travel before then, if anything, was like space and like the end of time. And this is just like some suburbanites and like their problems.
Yeah.
Like, I'm away from my...
Thank God a white guy went back so he could invent rock and roll. God bless America.
Right? It's bad enough we do cultural appropriation. Now we're like taking credit for it.
I know. He invented rock and roll and skateboarding. It's so perfect. Oh,
right. The fact that he skateboards plays into it. Everything is like, everything is important. Every information in that is useful.
So good. I just want to talk about this forever.
Yeah.
I don't know what. Ari, what do you got?
I was just wondering, you know how movies get remade kind of like on a 20-year cycle? So this has been 30 years. And my question to you is, could this be remade?
It totally will. Let's say it gets remade in 5 years, but they go back to like the 80s or the 90s. And instead of a DeLorean, it's a...
Yeah, the 90s would be better. 25 to 95.
It'd be a Tesla.
Well, I think Bob Gale has said this will get remade over my dead body.
It's one of those rare movies that could not be remade. Like it kind of still holds up. We showed it to Scott's daughter.
I did, yeah.
And
8-year-old daughter.
She, you know, they watched it. They were entertained by it. We interviewed them afterwards and they were kind of like, eh, it's okay. No, I don't think time travel's real. We'll send you the clip.
Yeah.
Of what
they
said.
But they sat through it all.
They sat through it all.
Yeah, and they don't sit through when things are boring. You know it.
So I think if it is going to be remade, in my unprofessional opinion, I think it's going to be remade in like another 15 years or another 20 years is when they'll remake it.
I think you're right. I think we need to, because you're right. Right now, if you just watch the originals, you're like, there's nothing wrong with this. And we need to get to a point where it looks a little more aged and dated. So I also showed this. We don't watch very many movies in our car. I don't want to be that family that just gets in the car and starts playing movies. And we were taking a long drive. And so I threw in Back to the Future because I just like listening to it. I don't have to watch it. And my 4-year-old nephew was... He hasn't been that silent during a movie in a long time. Like usually he's just yakking about something, or a 2-hour movie at some point he's gonna be like, when's the next episode? Come on. But especially like the last 45 minutes, he was just glued. It was amazing.
Yeah, it holds
up.
My
4-year-old saw the first half and keeps asking, when am I gonna see the other half? The guy in the car.
Yeah. All right. Thank you, guys.
Are we saying enough? Are we saying this movie's so important? It's like, I'm not sure what else we do about
it. I think since we know Back to the Future 2 is coming, and I think a lot of what I will have to discuss is just kind of general time travel theory and how this movie works. And so I will say
one more thing. I did like how they didn't do the typical discovery of how Doc Brown's discovery of the flux capacitor was not because of Marty going back in time. I did appreciate that. A lot of time travel movies do that, which is the bootstrap paradox. Yeah. So they definitely did not write this to be a loop.
Does he spend more time on it though? Like, does he just throw that idea in the garbage?
Maybe, but you know, when the original timeline, you know, Doc Brown says, meet me in the, you know, parking lot. I've been working on this thing. He didn't say, oh, because someone reminded me back in the day.
It's not supposed to be a loop.
But so I appreciate that the original discovery of the flux capacitor was not because of Marty going back in time.
Okay. But question here. Are we about to say the same thing? I mean, once he's gone back in time, once he goes to 55 and says, you're going to build a time machine using flux capacitor, logic dictates that this guy is going to focus all his efforts on that and not his zany other stuff. And a time travel theory that if Marty goes to 55, he says, you are going to invent a time machine using this flux capacitor. He would not just put that to the side. He would focus on that and he'd have a time machine earlier. It would be hard to just ignore it and say, I'm just going to wait until when I think I'm supposed to do this, you know, in 85. Well, there's more butterfly effect shit here, than they're paying attention to.
Do his parents recognize him?
Yes, I used
Does
to always
Doc
think
Brown
that.
Recognize him?
Yeah, eventually they'd be like, oh wait, that was the kid that in high school that my dad hit with a car.
He would look familiar, at least you would think.
Well, and this is where we got to go all the way back to the beginning of our conversation, where how does the butterfly effect affect it? Like, is it like all of the sudden now when he returns, are they like, wait, this kid looks familiar?
No, it would have been gradual. But yeah, you would think they would take a photo of him when he's like 13 one day and be like, do you remember that guy that introduced us? Calvin Klein, he was there and then he just disappeared from town.
Remember that kid we named our child after?
I mean, memories get vague. And here's the point to that. I remember a kid that was a very good friend to me when I was 6 or 7 years old. I've got some loose thing, but like, he popped up today, an older version of him. Or I don't know. I don't know if I would.
But if his 6-year-old version just plopped in front of you, you'd be like, that's that dude. And when does Doc, do you think Doc actually, I mean, he's got to tape that letter together. Does he wait until 85 to tape that letter together?
Doc has to theoretically never talk to Marty about that until
he gets shot.
Until he gets shot. Because so he's friends of Marty all these years, not saying, you actually came back to me in the past and I helped you. I mean, this is all going into loop theory again.
Well, and if Doc follows the letters directions, he waits until 1985 to open it, so he's only got to live with that information for 10 months.
Right, but he knows Marty. The first day he meets Marty, whatever, Marty skateboards past his driveway.
Yeah,
he's like, now I'm finally with you. He must be so excited for his friend that, you know what I mean? There's just weird things.
That definitely, we could tear this movie to shreds.
When we're done with this, I still got to go more into what we were talking about earlier. This is, it's blowing my mind a little bit.
Do you want to eat?
I mean, there's, you know, no, I don't need to talk about it now, but that,
okay.
I think ultimately there's no correct version that makes sense.
Yeah.
Which is sad, but it's fine.
Well, we will come back to this. Thank you for listening to Time Pop. If you just tripped over us because you're a big Back to the Future fan, check out some of our other episodes. We got The Time Machine, Classic, Avengers Endgame, Family Guy, Bill and Ted's, 12 Monkeys, All the Terminators, Project Almanac, Futurama. Scott is also on Free Jack and a couple other episodes, Predestination, Groundhog Day, and so much more. Thank you for all of our listeners who have been here with us through this first season. And thank you, everyone who's just finding us now. Enjoy going back and listening to some classic episodes. Don't feel like any of your questions are too old. If you're listening to an old episode and something sparks your interest, feel free to send us a note. We would love to get into some new theories on these old movies. That would be excellent. And there's not going to be much of a break in the action. Our next season is just going to start right on up. For people who have been listening to us these last couple months, we are going to switch to a every other week release. But don't worry, on the off weeks, I'm doing that because I'm also doing another show. So I'm going to alternate. They're both film shows. So if you're just into movies in general, there will be no break in the action. We're just going to be able to mix it up a little bit. But we will be here every other week to talk about another great time travel tale. Please like and subscribe and tell a neighbor or friend about it so you can share a discussion of your own on the topic of time travel. Stay tuned to social media for ongoing discussions about episodes and heads up on what film is coming up in case you would like to play along. You can find us at What Sounds Awesome on Facebook and Instagram and at Sounds Awesome 2 on Twitter. Please feel free to email us directly with questions and comments at wesoundawesome@gmail.com. And also check out whatsoundsawesome.com to hear what else sounds awesome. I'm looking forward to adding lots of new content and shows in 2020. So stay tuned. We will be back in 2 weeks with a new Time Pop. But if you enjoy another fun film discussion, tune in to Rotten Popcorn next Wednesday. Thanks for listening. And now, Back to the Future 2 very soon. I don't know when you'll listen to it out there, but I think hopefully as a just to keep our minds on it, I'd like to do it sooner than later just to really, really dig into this. Thank you so much out there for listening. Scott, thank you so much for being here. Scott Lifton, who you now know as the host of Rotten Popcorn, is slumming it here with Time Pop.
Guys, thank you. This is an honor. Thanks for Back to the Future is so important. So thank you for including me on this one. This is, and now you're giving me some stuff to chew on that I haven't thought about. So thank you. This is sacred text. This is holy stuff.
Ari?
Yeah.
We've come a long way.
Yeah.
30 and years.
I didn't even think about it until right now that See You Yesterday. We've gone from Michael J. Fox to Michael J. Fox in our first season of Time Pop.
Yeah.
That's
round it out.
Not too shabby.
Oh, is this your final episode of season one?
It is.
Oh, so many times. How many years have you spanned in 20 episodes? A lot.
a lot more time has spanned for our listeners than it has for us recorders. We recorded our first test episode almost 2 years ago. Like, we started recording proper about a year ago, almost to the day. Like, I think 12/5 was when, but our first test episode was 2017.
Wow.
No, beginning in 2018.
That seems about right.
All right.
I don't know.
I was like, he tells me what to watch and where to record, and I show up. Are you still enjoying it, Ari?
Yeah, totally.
Yeah, you like coming here and ruining these movies for me?
I do.
And finding just ripping holes.
Absolutely.
Ripping holes. That's what she's good at.
It's so good. I love critically watching stuff, but I do still just find myself just watching these movies like, oh, that's so much fun. And then we start talking. I'm like, that was garbage.
Why is there five Martys running around Lone Palm Mall? Lone Pine Mall now.
This movie's horrible. This is a bad script, horribly executed. And I'm so glad we got to talk about it.
Definitely.
Until next time, I am Desmond McNeese.
And I'm Ariel Gala. Bye.
What? He's proud of himself right now,
isn't
he?
He's so proud of himself right now.